Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. People that have money are not chasing me. That was a hard lesson. Because it went, it helped me. And they're not going to. They don't like you. They don't like poor, ignorant people. People who are chasing people. That's who you want. I realize something. If I'm going to learn, I'm going to have to chase somebody. They're not going to chase me. God said, my people destroy for lack of knowledge. What happens? We get arrogant. We won't ask questions. Oh, I'm somebody. No, you're not. You know, God exalts the humble. You need to humble yourself. What does it mean? You need to be meek, not weak, meek. That means teachable. Humble people are teachable. Hey, how do you do that? Hey, how'd you learn that? If you don't start asking questions, I notice most men, we get together in business, we try to outbrag one another instead of try to ask questions. And so I had a great boss, man, an old Bill Clark in Baxter, Kansas. He'd teach me, Joe, when you get around other people smarter than you, shut your mouth up unless you're asking a question. That way, if you'll ask a question, people will gum flap you to death. If you do all the talking, you'll leave a room, you didn't learn a thing. You just bored them. Ask questions. That's how you learn something. And so I realized, okay, I need to change the way I think. As a husband, as a father, God, you want me blessed. How do you do that? Well, I got to find out what I'm good at. Now, when I was with a Grace school, people said, how did you turn that school around? It was very carnal. I had a class called A Biblical Worldview every day with 7th through 12th graders. I've got to change how they think about themselves. It was actually an old Bible class, and I would tell them, don't bring your Bible to Bible class. You're not reading it anyhow. If I said, turn to Hephaniah chapter 12, you'll try to find it. You're not reading it, so just leave it in your locker. And we cut chapel down from 50 minutes to 20 minutes. And I'm going to do storytelling. Jesus taught in parable form. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm never going to finish it. I'm going to end every day halfway through that story, pick it up the next day, start another story, and end it. Why? I want you to want to come back. I'm going to make you hungry for God. I'm going to create a hunger in you. And so then we changed where we start. Instead of starting school on Monday, we started school on Wednesday. Because you come out of the summer, nobody wants to come back to school. I realized I got to get inside their head because most people hate school. Most people hate going to work. That's why one of the greatest all-time hymns of our new century is take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. It's a great hymn. I remember when you used to come on the radio at work, we'd have five different country stations. Hey, it's on. Turn the station. And it was when Olin Matheson, we had a great company, 300 employees, and turn the station. It's on. Station 95.4. Men would turn. It's a noisy plant. We make big high voltage power cable. And we turn, and 300 men would sing in unison without a leader. Take this job, Chevy. We ain't working here no more. Take this job, Chevy. We'd sing that, and the foreman would laugh, and the supervisor would laugh. And 3 months later, they shut our plant down. Because you get what you say. So I don't sing that song anymore. Praise God. Sing to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're blessed and highly favored. We're going over, not under. God's going to bless everything we set our hand to. People like us don't even know why, because we're surrounded with divine favor. I love my boss, and he loves me. If he doesn't do his job, God will take him out, and I'll take his job. It's just how I see it. Now, you can laugh. I'm very serious. That's how I got promoted. People say, how'd you get to be an engineer? I started off as a janitor. Now, I didn't want to be a janitor. I wanted to marry Denise. I had a real job. I'm running a backhoe for a construction company. I love that job. But she would not marry me because I had no health insurance. She didn't want to get married, get pregnant, and we couldn't pay for the baby. So I left the backhoe to become a janitor at Olin Matheson. But I do have health insurance. So we got married. It didn't take her 2 weeks to tell her. She told me I needed a better job. I said, I had a better one. I took a worse one to marry you. So I'm down here, and I thought, well, I don't want to stay a janitor. And it was a union shop. And so I just start bidding on jobs. Well, I need to make more money. My wife said, I got to make more money. So I would go down where you punch in. And if it paid 10 cents an hour more than I'm making, I'd sign my name. And I learned early that most humans are lazy. Just thumb-sucking lazy. Work harder getting out of work than working. And I'd sign my name on a job. Oh, hey, McGee, you don't want to work down there. You know who that foreman is? No, I don't care. I'm not going home with him. I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash. And so I would sign on everything. So I moved through that company, man. I'm just moving up the freight train. All of a sudden, I'm about as high as I can go. I'm running a Strander one day. It's a great machine. And man, I'm making like a big 385 an hour. I'm really up there now. And I'm sitting there one day, and I'm sitting on these big Stranders, and there's rows of big old huge machines. You throw a spool through the roof, man, you can get killed. And it's noisy. I'm waiting for my machines to stop, and I look left one day, just rows of these big long machines, and I look right. And these men there, they're old and got an old hat on the back of their head and unshaved, got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, just like a crummy Norman Rockwell painting. And I sit there one day, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to look like that 20 years from now. Oh my God, if this was the line at a grocery store, I got to get out of it. This is not good. And I thought, I got to get out of here. And so I thought, I got to get a better job. And so I got to thinking, I got to get a better job. I got to get out of here. I got to get a better job. What? I don't know. I'm not good at anything. I hated school. Now, it wasn't that I was bad at it. I just put no time into it. You understand? I hated school. You like school? I hate school. And then I realized something. Again, I only get paid for two things, what I know and what I can do. And based on my paycheck, I don't know anything, nor can I do anything. I thought, I got to go back to school. I got to learn something. And so I began to bid, and I realized there was only one job that paid a lot in that plant. It was a furnace operator. Big molten furnace up on a big mezzanine. Four of them, 20,000 pounds of molten aluminum. It's like standing over a furnace. And they had four operators, a foreman, and a janitor in that department. I thought, now that job, I was $385. That job paid $8 an hour, I thought. I got to get that job. So I read the union manual, which ever didn't nobody read, and it said you have to promote from within the department. So I realized they'd had an opening a few months earlier, and I said, well, who gets that job? Well, it's from within the department. Well, there's nobody that's in the department except the janitor. So, all right. So I went, and I bid on the janitor's job in the milk cast department. Well, when I signed up, hey, McGee, you better get down there. Somebody signed your name up for the blankety-blank job down there. And I said, no, I signed it up. You're going back to being a blankety-blank person. Yeah, I like driving the forklift and going to the dump. Yeah, I'm going down there. I didn't tell anybody. I want to go down there. But then after 3 months, they promote the foreman to a salesman in the front office. They promote an operator to foreman. There's an opening. It's posted on the board. It's a bid deal. Well, several people in the plant bid on it. Well, I bid on it. Well, they gave it to another guy down in shipping. So I went down to the union shop and said, that's my job. That's not your job. You haven't been here long enough. It's not based on how long you've been here. According to your manual, it's based on who's in the department. I'm the only other guy in the department. That's my job. Well, you crazy. You didn't give that job to a janitor. Well, it's in your manual. I didn't write the manual, but it's in the union manual. Well, they read it, and he's standing there looking at it like, well, that can't be right. I said, well, I didn't write the manual. I just read it. You wrote it. I just read it. That's my job. Well, they filed petitions. People wrote names on the side of my tires in the parking lot. I was a popular person. But they gave me that job, and then they changed the manual. So I'm down there as a furnace operator. I love that job, man, because you only work twice a shift. People were scared. Man, you don't work down there, molten aluminum, burn your eyeballs out, burn a hole through your skin. Well, you only had to enter those furnaces twice in 8 hours. Twice. So you're sitting there the rest of the time drinking free Pepsi in front of our own 48-inch fan. Like it's really hard, you know. And so twice you had to put on a big asbestos coat and metal tarsal shoes and had to stand over that furnace. Once you emptied it, you had to clean those channels out. And you had a big steel bar and a 10-pound sledgehammer. You had to stand over the pit of hell and clean out those channels. So you would sweat like a stuck hog. So twice in 8 hours for 30 minutes, you're sweating and slinging steel. Boom, boom. But the other 7 hours, like, hey, what's happening? He's like, so I'm sitting there one day, and I'm going through this process, and the guy walks down below the mezzanine one morning in a white shirt and blue pants, not sweating at all. Everybody sweats in this company. It's a hot place. I asked the foreman, who's the guy in the white shirt that comes by every day? He said, that's a lab technician. So how come he doesn't sweat? He works in the lab. What do you mean? It's air conditioning in the lab. I said, where's the lab at down there? I said, does he make more money than we do? Sure, he's a lab technician. I said, how do you get to be a lab technician? He said, you can't be a lab technician. You got to be a metallurgist to be a lab technician. So what's a metallurgist? They work with metal. Huh. I got off at 3 o'clock. I walked down to the personnel office. I walk in, and it's just the receptionist. Nice lady. She said, can I help you? Uh-huh. How do you get to be a lab technician? She said, well, you have to take a test. Oh, can I take it? Sure. When do you give it? Well, we're giving one next Thursday. Can you sign me up? No problem. So I signed my name. There were 17 guys coming in to take that test to get that job as a lab technician. I signed my name at the bottom. The next Thursday, I got off of work. I've been on the furnace all day. My clothes are white with sweat. I smell. I walk into a room with 17 college graduates with coats and ties on. I walk in, the guy giving the test said, "Can I help you?" "I'm here to take the test." I don't think so. "Oh, really? I'm here to take that. What's your name?" "Joe McGee." Somebody had retyped it, so it's official. "All right, well, have a seat." "All righty." I sit down, they give you the test. 100 questions, multiple choice. It's on metallurgy. We had a shop at my high school, had some wood, some saws. We didn't even have a drill. We're a country with a K school. We never had a micrometer. Half these questions are using a micrometer. Good Lord, that looks like Hebrew. I don't even know what that is. So I know how to take a test, read every question. If you know it, answer it. I don't know any of them. Then I go back. Number one, A. Number two, B. Number three, C. Number four, D. Number five, A. And I went back and I reread it again. It took about 20 minutes. It's a 4-hour test. 20 minutes later, got up, walked to the front, handed my paper in. Everybody's looking at me. "My God, he's a genius. He's a stinking genius." I go back to work. I'm trying to help you here. I go back to work. 2 weeks later, the foreman's yelling, "McGee, get down here. What'd you do?" "I didn't do nothing. I'm working." "No, what'd you do? They want you down in the lab. What'd you do?" "Oh, I took a test to be a lab technician." "You weren't supposed to do that. Get out there and fix that." So I go down to the lab, and there's a guy named Steve Radline. He used to work for NASA before NASA was famous. He smoked a lime green pipe. It was made out of the stuff that with the heat shields on the space shuttles before there was a space shuttle. Got a crew cut. He's sitting there puffing that pipe. He said, "Have a seat." "I love the lab." "Oh, my God." You walk in, everything's stainless steel, white floors. There's classical music playing. They have their lunch delivered. They eat corned beef on rye. We're eating pineapple and cream cheese out of the machine. They're playing games called cribbage, not cabbage, cribbage. Like, God, I'm walking out. Now I'm just nasty. I sit down in front of Mr. Radline, and he's puffing that pipe. I said, "Joe, why do you want to be a lab technician?" I said, "Well, I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash. And y'all make more money than we do. Plus, it's air conditioning. And I really like the classical music. I don't know what it is, but it beats that country. That'll drive you whack, I'll tell you. You get to eat that corned beef on rye, and man, I don't know, that would be something. I'm not making this up, I'm just being honest." He's just puffing that pipe. He said, "You know, you weren't supposed to take this test." I said, "Well, I asked, I said I could." He said, "You know what your score was?" I said, "No, I figured I got a 50-50 chance of getting 50, I guessed at everything." He said, "You scored a 9. "9. I'm trying to think, did he round it up? 9? He said, "You got 9 out of 100, Joe. Don't ever gamble. You're not good at guessing." Well, what he had to do, because I took the test, he had to pull my personnel file. He said, "Joe, do you not like working here?" "I love working here." "Then why do you keep moving around? You worked in every department that's planned." I said, "Well, because I have a lot of hobbies and work's not one of them. I work for cash. And every time I moved, it was to make more money than I was making." "Well, I've got a problem." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, the people on the floor don't like the lab technicians. The lab technicians don't like the people on the floor. We have a relationship problem. The plant manager's mad at me. He told me this morning I need a liaison between us and them. And according to your personnel file, everybody likes you. You work really hard. You know everybody. You know everything in the plant. So I'm thinking maybe we could bring you into the lab. And we can teach you how to run all the machines. Now, we're not going to teach you the math. We don't think you can learn that." I'm not making it. It was very humble. "But if we can bring you in for 3 months and see if you can learn machines, we will hire you as a lab technician, and you can be our liaison between us and the floor. Would you be willing to try that?" Now, the minute he said that, I said, "Will I get a uniform?" "What?" "Yeah, the white shirt and the pants, because my wife would really be impressed if I went to work in a white shirt and some pants." "Sure, we can get you a white shirt and some pants." "That's good. All right, yeah, I can do this." Okay, guy's name is Charlie Swigger. He was German. He trained me. He had 8 years of college math. He was a walking genius. Man, I had to find that guy liked me and I liked him. He was incredible. He collected the arrowheads and stuff. We hit it off. But he taught me all the machinery, taught me all the math. So I was the first 9-degree lab technician. I got that job. "How did you get that job?" "Well, I just asked, took a test, flunked it, and they hired me. It was amazing." And so I'm in there. Well, it didn't take but 3 days. There's 3 lab technicians on every shift. And so now I'm not just wasting time storytelling. You need to listen to me. Everybody in this room is dealing with something right now. It'll be up to you whether you persevere or you back off. Because the devil's trying to get you to back. You're too dumb. You're not educated enough. You're not smart enough. I'm a child of God. I'm going to own you if you don't leave me alone. And so I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be the hardest worker. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to steal. And I'm going to learn whatever you need me to learn. So 3 days into my job as a lab technician, I realized that one of us was a senior lab technician. I said, "You're a senior lab technician? What makes you a senior lab technician?" I do the same thing you do. He says, "Well, I can run the quantometer." Now, a quantometer was an amazing machine. Now, they've updated technology since then. It took up a whole room. I mean, you walk in that room, your hair stand up on your head. And what it did a carbon test. We'd send a piece of aluminum down, and we'd do a carbon burn on it. Got a carbon rod. And it would measure how much manganese, how much copper, zinc, what kind of ore's in there. And then we could tell them what to add down at the furnace so we got quality wire we're producing that's hanging up. And so he said, "I run the quantometer." I said, "Well, I can run the quantometer." He says, "No, you're not. They only have two of them in the state of Tennessee. One's here and the other's at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville." I thought, "I can learn to run that." So I would stay over. Denise, I'd come home late, an hour after every shift, because that's when they do the burn. So I would stay over till the new technicians came in, and I'd go out and watch them do the test, burn. What's that do? What does that mean? And I learned how to run the quantometer. So 3 months later, one of the guys in our lab got promoted to sales. There's an opening for a senior lab technician. I went and talked to Mr. Radline. "I want that job." "Joe, you can't do that job. You don't know how to run the quantometer." "Yes, I do." "No, you don't." "Yes, I do. Come watch me." Well, he went down, and sure enough, an hour later, he just made me retab. I said, you need 3 grams of copper, 4 manganese, you're ready to go. "I'll get back with you." I became the first senior non-degree lab technician they ever had. Well, I'm just doing my job. I'm happy as a pea in a pod. And then all of a sudden, one day, they got some new alloy they're making down there. And I don't know anything about the alloy. And so I did the test, and I told them it was ready to dump. So we dumped 20,000 pounds of aluminum that was no good. And it's moving through the plant. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they found out, this stuff's no good. It's busting. What happened? And they found out the mix was bad. Well, who approved it? The lab technician. Which one? The non-degreed one down there. And sure enough, buddy, Mr. Randall called me in. I was home asleep. He comes, "Joe, you got to get down there, plant manager, to live." Like, "You dumped 20,000 pounds of bad stuff." I said, "No way. I know what I'm doing." "Well, I didn't know it's an alloy. I'd never seen it before." And sure enough, like, "You do it?" "Yes, I did. I thought it was this. It wasn't. It's this. I've never seen this before. I used the old numbers, and it's my fault." It was the plant manager wants to see. And so he came down, and he was mad. Old guy, you know, bald head. "You know what you did?" "Yes, sir. I dumped the wrong stuff." "You know why?" "Yeah, because it was an alloy. I'd never seen it before. I promise you, it will never happen again." "Well, I'll find out what we're going to do with you." And I thought, "Okay, go home." I did. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. So, you know, I called the next day, and Radline said, "You're not going to believe it. The plant manager said to keep you. You're a hard worker." They said he's going to keep you. So I said, "Good."
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.